We're just seconds away from a conversation with farmer and Iowa Secretary of Agriculture candidate Tim Gannon. Tim, who came back from working at the USDA with former Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack to work the family farm, is a Democrat, and he says he's focused on a number of issues that are impacting Iowa's rural and urban communities. Farm income is down, trade issues have impacted the economy, and he cites ways to fix water and soil problems. Tim Gannon of Jasper County, coming up next on the Business News Hour. Insight on Business the News Hour is made possible through the support of Taro International. Your ability to communicate, to lead, and to be more effective comes from the soft skills taught by Taro International. 11 core areas that will help you, your team, and your business achieve, lead, and outclass with TERO.com.
Insight on Business the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. With me is a candidate for the Secretary of Agriculture here in the great state of Iowa. His name is Tim Gannon. He has been with the USDA for a number of years. And get this, kids, he's a real farmer, which is kind of unique in this world. Welcome to the Business News Hour, Tim. Good to have you here.
Great to be with you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you. Downstate ballot candidates have sometimes the issue of name recognition. And you're Secretary of Agriculture. The Secretary of Agriculture, which is such an important part of Iowa's economy. What are the challenges about being down the ballot?
Well, you don't get as much attention as governor or somebody running for Congress. But it is definitely an important office for the state of Iowa, given agriculture's important role both in our identity as a state, but also definitely in our economy. Not just the farm income, which is important, but the way that farm income then gets rolled around the economy. Every small town does better when farmers are doing better. Our manufacturing does better when farmers are doing better. And our state budget is stronger when farmers are doing better.
And this is, if I remember correctly from the news pieces that we've done in the past, this is either the fifth or the sixth year that farm income has been down. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, it's been down five of the last 6 years. And USDA back in February, when they did their 2018 farm income forecast, predicted it was going to be down again this year. And that was before what we've seen happen to prices because of the trade disputes.
Let's talk a little bit about the trade disputes. Why should people care whether or not there is an issue out there with soybeans being taxed or not being purchased by the largest user of soybeans in the world, which is China, and they're going elsewhere, such as Brazil and other places, to get their soybeans? What does that mean to Iowa and Iowa farmers?
Well, Iowa farmers and other soybean producers in the United States spent a lot of years building the market, creating the relationships with end users in China so that they would know that American farmers produced a quality, affordable, and consistent product that they could buy year in and year out, knowing it would be there. So what has happened with them deciding not to buy soybeans from the United States because of the tariffs they've put on our beans is they've gone elsewhere, like you said, Brazil. But the one that really grabbed my attention. I worked 8 years at USDA while Secretary Vilsack was out there leading things. And that was a lot of crop briefings I sat through in those 8 years' time. Everything from how the weather in the southern hemisphere affects the supply and demand of wheat in the northern hemisphere to the weather in Egypt impacting the cotton crop there and what that meant for cotton prices in the United States. But never once in those 8 years of crop briefings did I hear the words Russia and soybeans used in the same sentence. But back in June, after China put tariffs on our soybeans, one of the headlines from Bloomberg or Reuters was China to source record supply of soybeans from Russia. Now, I don't know if that's a lot or a little comparatively, but it goes to show you what they're going to do to try and survive without the soybeans that they had come to depend on from the United States.
And because there are other markets, this has impacted not only the price of soybeans, but also as you go down the economic ladder, that impacts farmers, that impacts their ability to buy equipment, to expand their operation. And yet, the current administration said, oh, wait, we've got a fix for you. We'll give you a penny per bushel for corn, and what ends up to be not $1.84 for a bushel of soybeans, but really 82 cents. Is that accurate?
Well, that's accurate, except it ends up being just a half penny per bushel for corn, because they cut it.
Because they also do that.
They cut it in half the same way they do for the soybean production. Yep. I think they realize that they have created a problem for farmers and for economies like Iowa's that depend so much on farmers. But I don't think that they really understand the damage that they'll do to our entire economy if they continue with these policies that will keep prices down. And trade is definitely one part of it, but also with what they've done in biofuels, it's pushed the price for corn and beans down. And so that's why I've been talking, in the short term, the things that will definitely help farm income would be fixing biofuels policy and fixing trade policy. But I don't think that the administration in Washington, D.C. right now is listening to anyone, because they see the stock market doing relatively well. They see unemployment low. And so they don't understand that when farmers are struggling, that means all those small towns are going to struggle. My dad owned a John Deere store during the 1980s. So my first lesson in economics was, if farmers aren't doing well, it's tough on the rest of rural Iowa. And that in Iowa, then, if equipment dealers aren't selling machinery, that means our folks who work in the Deere and Case plants may not be working either. And it kind of gets to be a triple whammy where farmers aren't doing well, those small businesses that depend on them aren't doing well, and eventually our manufacturing suffers. And just with what they've talked about in the loss in income from low prices due to trade disputes, Iowa State researchers have said that could be as much as $110 million hit to state tax revenues. And anyone who's followed the state budget the last couple of years knows we haven't had an extra $110 million laying around, and we've had to shortchange education. We've had to mid-year cuts to our Regents universities, the issues with paying providers, especially rural doctors and small-town hospitals, for services provided by Medicaid. All of these issues then get impacted if the state budget's not doing well.
Well, the state budget is important for every Iowan. We were talking with Tim Gannon, ladies and gentlemen. He is a candidate for Secretary of Agriculture here in the Hawkeye State. Let's talk a little bit. We introduced you as a farmer.
Yep.
I would think that people that would want to have a Secretary of Agriculture in Iowa might look toward a farmer. Tell us about that part of your life.
Well, so, as I mentioned, growing up, my dad had a John Deere store, so I didn't grow up on the farm. But when he sold the store, he went back to farm, and so I helped him a little bit in the early 2000s, but kind of took a non-traditional route to helping him now and being involved now. I was working in D.C. for Secretary Vilsack at USDA. I had just started a new job, the Risk Management Agency, in January 2015, and the cousin of mine who was farming with him died very unexpectedly. And so I was not in a position to come back right then, but knew at that point in time, I knew that that's what I wanted to do, was come home and be the next generation to farm on this farm that's been in our family since 1888. So, I can remember the Century Farm ceremony in 2013 or 2014 up there on the stage with my dad, one of the proudest days of his life.
And what kind of farming?
Not just corn and beans.
Yeah.
Used to have cattle way before I was involved, but livestock's a lot of work.
It is.
And so we're just corn and beans at this point in
time. Tell us what county.
Jasper County, just outside Mingo.
All right. We are with Tim Gannon, ladies and gentlemen, Democratic candidate for Secretary of Agriculture. What are you hearing, Tim, out there on the campaign trail? You've got 99 counties to cover, and I bet you've been to all of them.
Not all of them quite yet, but we're hoping to be able to color in the rest of the map.
A few more days left.
Yep, 13 days to go, so a few more chances to get around and talk to folks.
So what are they saying? What are you hearing?
There's a lot of concern. When you just look at the demographics, Iowa grew by about 90,000 people between 2010 and 2016. But we lost population in 71 of our 99 counties. And so if we don't have a strong ag economy, that makes it even tougher on those rural counties. So we've got to do all we can to get profitability back into agriculture, especially so that young people know that there's a future there that's not just trying to amass thousands and thousands of acres to farm on a really thin margin. And I think that people are rightly concerned with what they've seen from Washington, D.C., policies that favor oil refiners over farmers. You talk to bankers, and they're very nervous about whether they're, all their customers are going to be able to get back in the field next spring. You talk to county supervisors and city council folks in small towns, and they're nervous that if farmers aren't spending money in town and churning that local economy, that things are going to get even tougher than they are. You talk to folks involved in healthcare in small towns and rural places, and you hear about the doctors and dentists who haven't been compensated for the care they've provided to Medicaid patients, so they're not taking new Medicaid patients, which means those Medicaid patients have to travel even further for services. You talk to the folks, people who tell you about small town hospitals that no longer offer OBGYN services, and so they've got to, pregnant women have to go even farther to deliver a baby. And just a couple of days ago, Iowa Falls, which, growing up in Mingo, Iowa, I didn't think of Iowa Falls as a small town, but the hospital there, announced that sometime in November they'll no longer be delivering babies. And so if you've got these small towns and rural communities that aren't able to offer those services that people think are important to a high quality of life, then it gets more and more difficult to attract the people to live in rural Iowa. And I think we've got to do all we can to keep people living there, because I believe that small town Iowa and agriculture in Iowa provide a lot of important aspects to our social fabric.
All right. You've listed a great number of concerns that Iowans in rural communities, and I would suspect thinking Iowans in urban communities, are concerned with. What impact can the Secretary of Agriculture have on those issues?
Well, I think first and foremost, Iowans can have an impact on the short-term profitability, sending a message to Washington, D.C. I don't think folks in Washington, D.C. are listening to our current leaders, or if they're listening, they're not acting on what they're hearing. So I think Iowans have to send a little shockwave to Washington, D.C. and say, okay, we may have voted for Donald Trump 2 years ago, but we didn't sign up for these policies that are going to be so detrimental to our economy, and send some Democrats, send Fred Hubbell to the governor's office, send a couple more Democrats to Congress, and send some more statewide Democrats to help Mike Fitzgerald and Tom Miller. So I think that's the first thing. Beyond that, then I think we have to do more in terms of research at Iowa State. We've had a flatline budget in ag research at Iowa State for the last 5 years, and we're not anywhere near the high point of state investment in research at the Ag Experiment Station from 15, 16 years ago. So I've said, the next governor, next legislature should, over the next 4 years, add a little bit more than $1 million a year to get it up to $35 million a year in state investment at the Ag Experiment Station. That then, I think, helps us send a strong message to the research community that the state of Iowa and Iowa State University want to remain at the forefront of ag research, the way we've been seen as a leader forever. That will help us continue to increase productivity, which is important with a growing world population. Will help us to do that while we take better care of our soil and water, which is important for the state of Iowa. And it will help us figure out what are those new things we can do with what we grow and raise, or what are new crops that we can raise that help farmers be profitable that also can be turned into other new products. We've got to continue building value-added agriculture, bio-based industries that create jobs all across Iowa, the same way we have with ethanol and biodiesel. We've got to continue adding new uses, so if we do have a trade disruption again in the future, maybe prices aren't impacted quite so much as they have been this last 6 months.
What about alternative crops? Is that also an issue that could be assistive to farmers in rural Iowa?
Well, I think if the research is done and the economics make sense, absolutely. If there were a way to get a small grains market up and running that helped farmers make money with that diversification, we'd also see soil health benefits from that, water quality benefits from that, and hopefully at the end of the day, economic benefits to farmers in rural communities.
You just raised a very important issue that has plagued Iowa for some time, and that is water quality. And many individuals are pointing to agriculture, saying, well, part of the reason that we've got such an issue is overutilization of chemicals that impacts the waterways in Iowa and then eventually impacts the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico. How can the Secretary of Agriculture, under your leadership, start to move the ball on that?
Well, I think it's important that we start the conversation first and foremost with soil. We're a ag power in large part because we had the fortune to be settled on top of the best soil in the world. But if we don't take care of that soil, we'll kind of lose that designation with Iowa State and USDA researchers saying some parts of Iowa, the window on topsoil is 40 to 50 years at current rates of erosion. Now I'm 42, so 40 to 50 years, God willing, I'll still be alive. And so that should say that's a short enough window. We've got to do something, and that should unite all Iowans, rural and urban. But it's far enough out there that we can still make a big difference. I think it comes down to investing in conservation. Iowa voters in 2010 approved the creation of the Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund. The legislature and governors since 2010 have refused to fill that. If we get that trust fund filled, and I should say when, because a lot of people say it will happen eventually. It's just a lot of fighting to get there. But when that happens, we'll have over $100 million to spend just on the conservation that we know is needed to be done. That probably gets doubled from with investment from USDA. I talked to someone I worked with at USDA who worked in conservation. They said if the state of Iowa is coming with $100 million a year or more in new funding year in and year out for conservation efforts, the USDA will want to leverage that with their own investments. So then you're talking over $200 million a year. I think that sends a strong signal to farmers and landowners that the conservation that they know is important and that they want to do can't always afford to, especially in a farm economy like we have right now. But that will send a message to them that the state and federal government are in it for the long haul with a significant funding stream. That will keep them putting money into conservation. And then I think that gets more investment from the private sector. Every Fortune 500 company has something they're doing around sustainability, partly because they know it's a good PR story, but also because a lot of times they've figured out how to make money on it. So if we get all of those four groups putting more money into conservation, we'll see the kind of work happen that will build a new conservation economy, which will be important for job opportunities in rural Iowa. But it'll also then the nutrient reduction strategy that the state's using right now has a $4 to $6 billion price tag. The state's not spending more than $15-20 million a year on it right now, even with the legislation that the governor signed this year that creates long-term funding of $200 and some million. If we had the opportunity of spending $200 million plus annually versus $200 million over the course of 15 years, I think we'd see a lot more progress if we filled the trust fund and really got a dynamic stream of funding going that the state took a lead on.
Tim Gannon is our guest. He is a Democratic candidate for Secretary of Agriculture in Iowa. Just recently, we had a conversation with RDG, Plan and Design. They are a large planning organization. And what they're doing, interestingly enough, they're holding a symposium on building and designing structures that will be able to stay in existence because of the threat of climate change. I thought that was a stunning thing, where here is a group of architects that are saying, look, we've got to do some things different given the increase in hurricanes and wind velocity and tornadoes and all of these other things. How does the Secretary of Agriculture have a conversation about climate change?
Well, I think that every farmer in Iowa would tell you that the weather this year, no matter where they are, has been a little bit different. You've either seen really crazy precipitation events, and on our farm, we had the last Monday in June, 4.5-inch rain, and then just a few days later, when that big storm that dumped so much water on Polk County, we got 4.7 inches out of that. We were okay after that first rain, but that second rain, especially with what came downstream, a lot of our bottom ground was impacted, and so we're seeing lower yields in the bean and corn that were down on that bottom ground because they had water on it for a little too long or a little too often. So I think farmers realize there are changes happening. They may want to argue about what the causes are, but I don't think we should be arguing about the need to build resilience into our cropping systems and into making sure that we can withstand these precipitation events that otherwise can be very disastrous to soil runoff, erosion, losing those nutrients out of the soil. That's why investments in cover crops, investments in no-till, investments in the things that will protect our soil and build soil health so more of the water is absorbing and being held rather than running off and causing flash flooding is very important.
Final question, if I can, Tim. You've got some headwinds in this election. We started out as a down ballot candidate. But you have some powerful people in the state of Iowa raising money to defeat a farmer for the Secretary of Agriculture and throwing their weight behind a former Monsanto individual. Is that a piece of conversation that probably should be had?
Well, it's one of the things I think people don't like about politics in this day and age, the way that money can be determinative when really, you know, what should be determinative or what people's backgrounds are, what are their ideas to improve life for all Iowans, especially farmers and those who make their living in agriculture. And so I hope that folks will take a look at the candidates, not just at the ads, but get to know more about each of us and what our backgrounds are and what we want to do in terms of building on our rural economy, promoting agriculture so that farmers aren't looking at declining farm income, and figuring out what are the things we can do in conservation to really make a difference for our soil and water health.
His name is Tim Gannon, ladies and gentlemen. He's the Democratic candidate for Secretary of Agriculture. We will have links to his page up on our radio blog. Thanks so much, Tim, for doing this.
You bet. Glad to do it.
Once again, that was Secretary of Agriculture candidate for Iowa, Tim Gannon. If you want more information about Tim and his answers for Iowa, we've got links to his website up on our radio blog. For all the crew that puts this together each day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, Aaron Libby for sales and marketing, Hunter Pease is the voice of the Business News Hour, and the music you're hearing right now is created exclusively for us by James Goodlett. For all those folks and for our guest Tim Gannon, my name's Michael Libby. Be safe, be well, be careful, and most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.